Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
This is Danny and Dusty.
Meringue-a-tang is going to be a thing.
You're not coining anything new.
With Danny Meringue and Dusty, the Fan Man Hera.
All throws with monkey sounds and they're called go.
The old like Danny Meringue pie.
Danny and Dusty on the Odyssey app and 1080.
Yeah, this is going to be awesome.
The Fan.
Good afternoon.
Wow.
Hey, welcome in. Danny and Dusty with you on this glorious Tuesday afternoon. Happy Tuesday, everyone.
You had to pause on that one.
No, I didn't.
You did.
I did not. No, I know exactly what day
Tuesday.
It is. Because Tuesday's the worst day of the week.
It is.
Let's be completely honest here. Tuesday, Monday, it's like you anticipate the work week that is ahead. All the things that go along with it, the busyness of life. Tuesday is the day that just always sneaks up on you. You're like, oh, goodness gracious. It's only Tuesday. But it is a nice one. Nice weather really
Wonderful.
Helps things. Really helps things
It does.
Out.
It makes it suck just a little bit less.
Well, soak it in today.
Yeah.
Because it's going to turn.
Wow.
It does.
Thanks, Debbie Downer.
No, he's not wrong. He's not wrong. Mm-hmm. As an amateur meteorologist here, and I mean amateur in the greatest sense of the word
the
amateur.
Foremost sense of the word.
Yeah. It is going to turn for the worse. It's not going to be a great, not rest of the week. But you know what is great? We're going to be indoors Thursday, Friday anyway.
Hey! Just,
like the weather gods are actually doing us all a favor because if it was
good,
very nice weather, we all got our credits in the bank this past weekend.
Mm-hmm.
You going out, you did yard work. Danny planted two trees.
Two whole trees?
Not just one, two whole trees. We raked up the leaves. We mowed the grass this past week.
May or may not be where I buried bodies.
And then, when the glorious NCAA tournament starts, the rain comes like, can't get outside anyways. The weather gods are doing us a favor. Again, Oregon, great place to live. The weather gods
doing
favors
for us. Except for the fact that I'm off all next week and they're still going to be pissy and wet and rainy.
Yeah, that's the weather god saying you should work.
Yeah.
The gods are saying, hey,
look, I don't decide when the kid's spring break is.
Wow, you're off all next week?
Yeah.
Yeah, man. He's going to do, let me guess, Oregon Coast.
Yes, sir.
Oh, no way.
Hey, free is a very good price.
It's the best price out there.
Yeah.
It is the best price that is out there. But when the weather turns, come Thursday, you can come with us out to A&A. Where we will be in the stadium sports bar watching all of the madness unfold both Thursday and Friday. And then Saturday, Sunday, down in the doldrums.
Mm.
Weather's still bad. Maybe it's, hey, let's load up the family truckster and everybody let's go to A&A too.
Hey, keep going for a whole weekend.
It's good. It's great. All things coming up. Basketball for us.
Boy, do I love that.
Don't you?
I do.
Well, Blazers did us a little favor yesterday, too. I mean, they were getting hammered by the Bulls. They came back. They came back. They put up a little effort.
It turns out making shots super successful to being in a game.
Yeah, yeah. You got to shoot that ball though before the buzzer sounds.
I think Ant got that off.
Oh, really?
Yeah,
I did not.
They did a freeze frame on him. It was out of his hand.
I was like, that looked like it was still in his mitten.
Hell of a shot, just rimmed out.
Yeah, not everybody can be Kyrie with the floating lefty left-handed runner sky hook. Yeah, yeah, but Blazers lost again. Other than that, though, all things are coming up basketball. Ant Edwards took a guy's life yesterday. I mean, he snatched John Collins' soul.
I have a take on that.
Okay, you do.
Yeah. Well,
do you want to unload it now, or do you want to wait?
We'll save it for later.
You want to save that one for later?
Yeah.
All right. Are you going to call that a non-dunk? Because Jeff Rust agrees with you. Jeff Rust agrees with you. That's a non-dunk.
Non-dunk.
When you take somebody's soul, though, no, that's. That's a dunk.
I'm
still.
Gonna get it, but just right, throwing the ball in the basket.
Screw it. Unloaded. Yeah. Number one, it was a non-dunk. Number two, he freaking stiff-armed John Collins in the face.
Oh, get over that! Come on, cool stuff.
It was
is
cool.
Cool.
It was cool.
Yeah,
but also we're like everybody's like it's the greatest dunk. Blake Griffin's Mozgov non-dunk was better than Edwards' non-dunk.
Oh,
and both of them were non-dunks.
Tremendous scoring play. Tremendous basketball play.
Indeed,
not a dunk.
That was awesome.
It was awesome.
That man jumped from 14 feet away
that
from
part
the basket.
He took off from the dotted with cruel intentions.
And he, like, it was like John Collins just sitting there staring at Ant Edwards' manhood coming right at him because he was so high in the air. And it was like, oh, no, there's only one. The most happy person in the world about that dunk was Austin Reeves because Austin Reeves had the exact same thing happen. And his comment was hilarious. He said he was asked about it. He's like, so what was your view? He's like, nobody wants my view that I had because it was the lower half of an Atlanta Hawk in his face.
Yeah.
And that's not a good thing.
No, it's not great.
No. That reminds me, like my brother, he was a starting varsity point guard as a freshman at Glencoe High School.
Mm.
And Mike Dunleavy Jr. was the star Jesuit basketball player.
6'7" wing in high school.
He ended up committing to Duke, right there on the front page of the old Oregonian.
I love Duke.
Was my brother trying to take a charge, and Mike Dunleavy just going, ah! Yep. And that was.
And Dunleavy was a monster high schooler.
Yeah, yeah. And not only did he not take the charge, Dunleavy finished the dunk
and yammed on him.
It was a block. So it was, he got the and one off of the whole deal, too.
Oh, by the way, apropos of nothing, just lucky timing here. The video of the Ant dunk, air quotes, dunk came up. And he did. He got his hand right in John Collins' face.
No, he stiff armed him in the face.
Yeah. No, John Collins' face got in the way of Ant Edwards' dunk. Come on. We are really in a world where we're calling for fouls on incredible plays like that?
Oh, no, I don't want to foul. I'm deducting points from the greatness. It's not the everybody's celebrating it like it's the greatest in-game dunk they've ever seen.
No.
It's like, no.
I'm going to celebrate it because he belittled John Collins even more by just giving him the
mush face.
No.
Yeah.
And just shoving his hand in his face as he was throwing the ball through the basket. I think it's even harder when you throw the ball through the basket.
He gave him the Derrick Henry.
He did.
Just stiff-armed him. Just like, nope, you're not getting this.
Yeah, you are too small.
The most insane part about that isn't the dunk to me. It's where he took off from.
Like, yes.
The in his mind, he's like, I'm going to do this. And that part of it was cool as hell. Like, he took off from the dotted.
Yeah, you hear about, like, moms lifting cars off of their children, right? Like, Ant Edwards got that ball, and it was like a superhuman strength came upon him, and he jumped almost from the free throw line, and he got, it wasn't that he jumped that far, he went so high and so far. It was incredible.
John Collins is every bit of 6'9". Every bit of it.
That's right.
But he was turned into like 6'6" by getting his face mushed to the ground.
So crazy.
No, it was.
And my, Kyle Anderson's face just made my day.
Stink face?
He was like, was that famous
almost like
painting?
The Macaulay Culkin.
Yeah, he did.
The Scream painting, yes.
Yeah, the Scream painting, his hands just went to his face and he was in shock of what had happened because a man died on a basketball court and it was John Collins, RIP. I hope he survives from that, you know?
Interesting.
Has anybody seen John Collins' kids or did Ant Edwards take them too?
Probably did. probably did. You know what would have saved that is if John Collins would have been a Blazer like the 8 years in a row that or he was on the trade market.
Blazers eyeing John Collins.
Or if they just would have drafted him.
Or that, too.
That, too.
That could have said, actually, he probably would have ended up in Utah by now. I mean, if they would have drafted him. But we went through, what, 3 years in a row where it's like, Neil O'Shea is eyeing John Collins in a trade package with the Atlanta Hawks. It's
well, like, he was like the one infinity stone he didn't collect from the 2017 draft.
Ooh, yeah.
Have you ever looked at the 2017 draft?
No.
And seen how many guys the Blazers have off of it? It's disgusting.
It's sad.
It's disgusting. If you
just trying to right your wrongs.
I mean, you go through and you're like, how many guys have the Blazers been linked to? So you've got Zach Collins. You scroll down. They were linked to Luke
just
Kennard.
Just trying to make up for Zach Collins' pick. We're like, all right.
Justin Jackson was technically a trailblazer because he was drafted by him. TJ Leaf. John Collins was a guy obviously linked to him forever. Harry Giles. OG Anunoby is the guy that they went after. They drafted Caleb Swan again. They had Josh Hart. I mean, you just kind of go down. You're like, Ivan Rabb was a trailblazer. You just keep going, and you're just like, why? Isaiah Hartenstein was a guy that they went after. I mean, you just kind of
Isaiah
like,
Hartenstein, he's starting for the Knicks now.
Yeah, no, he's really good.
He's playing good basketball.
But basically, they tried to collect every single player they could for the 2017 draft that wasn't actually the guy that they should have gotten.
Well, them's the breaks when you draft Zach Collins.
When you move up to draft Zach Collins.
Well, it's a brave new world now, you know, now we're making trades and moves to where we're getting the guys that other teams go and pick up. Tumani Kamara, huh?
Hilariously.
How about that?
If the Blazers had done it, they could have had any collection of John Collins, Jared Allen, and OG Anunoby without moving their picks. Any two of those three.
Well,
let that settle in.
And John Collins no longer with us, though.
And then instead of taking Swanigan, they could have taken Josh Hart.
Well, they got Josh Hart anyways.
Eventually.
They got Josh Hart.
But
they filled that void.
They could have come out of that draft. They could have come out of that draft with John Collins, OG Anunoby, Josh Hart.
Yep.
I don't feel good.
So as bad as the 2016 free agency period was, and when they spent all that money, wasted all that money, the 2017 draft was the most crippling thing that ever happened to this modern era of this franchise. Just right. Disgusting stuff.
And this is why Tuesdays are the worst day of the week, guys. This right here is why Tuesdays are not good. All right. Well,
terrible.
We sported way too
well,
hard.
No, well, no, what happened is you flicked the nerve that is the 2017 NBA draft, and I can't put that monkey back in that box when anybody ever brings it up.
It was kind of sports adjacent.
Yeah, all right.
It was John Collins adjacent. Somebody died.
And I guess speaking of sports adjacent, we'll go ahead and get this out of the way right now. Today will be the day for the annual Kevin Pitsnoggle appreciation segment.
Oh, do you know what,
Kevin? We'll just finish it off right now.
Well, No. We have a texter, Vancouver Ford text line, 503-864-6326.
Spartan Bro, P1 Spartan Bro.
Yeah, your dollar goes further at Vancouver Ford. They treat you right before, during, and after the sale. Visit them online at vancouverford.com. I've got, I prepared for that.
Did you? Because
he always asks for Kevin Pitsnoggle information and updates.
Yeah, I saw an update the other day.
I have one right now. This was a thread by College Sports Only.
Is he a regional manager
of
now?
No worse. NCAA tournament Cinderella legends. Where are they now? A thread. Kevin Pitsnoggle leads it off. He is the assistant high school principal in West Virginia at the school that he went to.
Yes.
And he looks every bit of it. He is the most assistant principal looking MF-er you've ever seen.
That man can manage a lunchroom, let me tell you. That cafeteria
Are we looking
dialed.
At a vice principal with a whistle?
Kind of.
Ooh,
I mean, he's got the look. He still has his goatee.
Yeah, it's still the same.
His hair's just gray and he's a little bit fatter. I also have...
I feel that.
Do you remember Ali Farukunamesh? From Northern Iowa.
Oh, okay, yeah. I could not place the school. Okay.
He was a tourney legend.
Mm-hmm.
He's now a assistant coach at Colorado State.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Omar Samhan, remember him from St. Mary's? He's now an agent.
Yeah.
He's a sports agent now. God Sham God.
Oh, yeah. He's with the Mavs.
Mavs player development.
Yeah.
Sherwood Brown from the Florida Gulf Coast.
Oh.
You know, the Lob City.
Yeah.
He is a pro basketball player in Romania.
Oh, good for him.
Yeah, he made Andy Edfield a lot of money.
There you go.
Joey Rodriguez, VCU. He's an assistant head coach at Florida International. And then Harold Archineau, Weber State.
Yeah.
Aspiring music producer.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
Another baby face on our hands.
Otherwise known as unemployed.
Yeah.
Yep.
It's hard out here.
Gabe Lewellis, I remember him from Princeton. Remember when Princeton made a run in the 90s?
Oh, okay.
He's an orthopedic surgeon in Allentown, Pennsylvania.
Okay.
That makes sense.
That makes sense, yeah.
Princeton. Bo Kimball.
Yeah, there you go.
He's a business consultant in Philadelphia from Loyola Marymount. Remember, he shot left-handed free throw for Hank Gathers in the tournament. And that's your update. I don't think anybody's doing quite as well as Pitsnoggle, though. He's an assistant high school principal.
Back in the hometown.
Just tatted up.
Assistant to the high school principal.
Yeah, he's the assistant to the high school principal.
An assistant principal?
No, I'm kidding.
Oh, okay. Just, yeah. I was like, oh my God.
How many assistant principals in high school do you think have dragon tattoos?
Probably higher than you think. Yeah, yeah.
I'm smashing the over on that. Really?
Yeah.
I'm going to put the over under at...
Because they're not principals for a reason.
I'm going to put the over-under at 30% of high school principals have...
Taking the over.
All right.
I have a mythical creature tattooed on them?
Yeah, that. That's like maybe a fairy on the lower back. Yeah. It could be a dragon.
Yeah.
Right. I think in some of our more urban areas and whatnot, even suburbs, but you get into some of those really red parts of the country where, you know, population 40 and...
There's a griffin or an owlbear being tattooed somewhere.
I think you're gonna see that number drop in those areas.
Oh, I see. I'd go.
Oh no, I go up. Like
I'd
you're gonna up. See like a Bigfoot.
Brother,
you're gonna see some other like.
That's why I said griffin or owlbear.
Yeah, like I think if we're going actually Bigfoot's real, so I'm gonna strike that from the
mythical
record.
Creature,
it's a real creature, but I think you're getting. I think 30%. I think I'll take the. Under on 30%.
I'm taking the over.
It's almost a third of a high school assistant principals.
Yeah.
Have Again, a mythical creature tattooed on them.
They're assistant or vice principals for a reason.
Can we add like a tribal tattoo?
Oh, that spikes it to 50.
Yeah, a tribal tattoo and you're not an indigenous person to that tribe.
Yeah, 100%.
So are we also throwing in like the barbed wire around the bicep?
Tribal and tribal adjacent.
Yeah. A band of some sort.
Yeah.
Okay.
A Chinese character that doesn't say what you thought it was when you went and got the tattoo.
Hey, mine's Japanese.
Yeah. I think so. You got to really check that, though.
Yeah.
I checked mine 40,000 times. I took it to a bunch of Japanese restaurants just to make sure.
It's like you go in, you think it means harmony, and it turns out it means chicken ramen.
Yeah. Yeah, there's some harmony in your chicken ramen.
Actually, as I've gone through life, I probably would want to change from harmony to chicken ramen. Yeah. I don't think that's a bad thing, Jeff. What you just said is...
You go to Japan.
It's a natural transition of life. You're like, you know what? Chicken ramen? Yeah, I got my order tatted on me.
You lose your wallet and you're just down on your luck in Japan. Nobody speaks English, and you just point to your shoulder.
Yeah.
Chicken ramen, please.
There's nothing better than going in. It's like being a regular at the place.
What point to your arm and be like, harmony, and they're just like, get out of here. You point to chicken ramen, they just give you a thumbs up.
Yeah, it's been a long night, and you're just like, hey. And they're like,
it's like having a please return to tattoo on you.
We got an order coming right up, Pally.
Oh, man.
Gosh. That was the that insult sure backfired on you, Jeff.
Oh yeah, right in my face.
In your face. This text says, whenever I think of a typical high school assistant principal, my brain goes right to Art Rooney from Ferris Bueller's Day Off. Which criminal? That's a very criminal man.
Close. Ed Rooney.
Yeah, yes. Art Rooney is the owner of the Pittsburgh Steelers.
Yes,
Ed Rooney. And that man is he's in jail, I think.
He sentenced
to 250. Oh, that's it?
Oh. Fuck her up, Buttercup.
Yeah, that's what he's saying right now.
Yeah. He was given, okay.
Yeah, it was like kid diddling or something, wasn't it? Or like child porn.
Yeah, Jeffrey Jones, sentenced to 250 hours of community service and failing to update his data as a sex offender's register. Yeah. Oh, boy.
Oh, wow. He's...
Yeah.
How many times?
It was... 9 times.
Oh.
9 times.
Yeah.
I didn't know he was that.
Yeah. It was... No. Pedo pictures.
Oh. That's... Yeah, that's... go to hell.
Yeah.
Anyone? Anyone?
Mm-mm. That, of course, not Jeffrey Jones.
All right.
All right, break.
And that's a segment. If that's any indication what we got coming for you, buckle up, Buttercup.
Woo!
Because we will have a guest on today. 2:15, we got Jack Veltri, Gamecock Central, on 3 Sports. Give us a preview of Oregon, South Carolina, from the South Carolina perspective, as we've got a tourney matchup between the Ducks and the Gamecocks coming up Thursday, 1 o'clock, right here on 1080 The Fan. If you have problems filling out your bracket, I got help for you. I got help for you. Because there's an intrepid reporter, Matt Norlander, CBS Sports. He asked all 68 coaches one particular question.
Doing the Lord's work.
He did. He did. And I do believe that if you are on the fence on a particular matchup in the opening round, it will help you figure out which direction you are going to go in the NCAA tournament. We've got that to get to today. We have got mutinies to discuss. We've got a lot of college football news.
I love a good mutiny.
Because there's a lawsuit in college football that is very timely based on the news that came out right after the lawsuit was settled. And then we got some NFL draft stuff to get to as well. You see Mel Kiper Jr.'s latest mock draft?
No.
It's a doozy.
Oh.
Yeah.
Chris Sims doozy?
No.
Okay.
But maybe that's where we'll start, because we got conflicting draft analysts. Daniel Jeremiah of NFL Network and Mel Kiper Jr. of ESPN both released mock drafts today. It is far different, and they both include a quarterback from the Pacific Northwest. Danny and Dusty on The Fan.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first 3 orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
Danny and Dusty on The Fan.
Both Mel Kiper Jr. and Daniel Jeremiah of ESPN and the NFL Network, respectively, have released their mock drafts today. Boy, are they different. Yet, very similar, especially at the top. Mel Kiper Jr., he's got Caleb Williams going number 1 to the Chicago Bears. Jane Daniels 2 to the Commanders. Drake May 3 to the New England Patriots. And if you look at what Jeremiah has, he has the only difference is Drake May going 2 to Washington and Jane Daniels going 3 to the New England Patriots. After that, boy, we got some big differences here. in these, because you have Kuiper has, after Drake May, I think that this is kind of how it does shake out, but Marvin Harrison Jr. going forth to Arizona. That makes sense. They need a receiver desperately, and that's the best way to go about it. But Kuiper has Malik Nabers going 5 to the Chargers. I think I'm more side with Daniel Jeremiah, who has the Los Angeles Chargers picking up a tackle in Talese Fuaga, not at 5, but trading down to 10. Where these two guys have a vast difference, though, is Daniel Jeremiah has the Minnesota Vikings trading up to the 4th spot to draft J.J. McCarthy.
They did,
the Michigan quarterback.
They did go get that second first-round pick.
Yeah.
They went and got the 23rd overall pick, so they've got that to put in there. And if you're the Cardinals, you have so many holes.
Very much so. But receiver is a massive hole.
It is.
Like, they are void of talent. I think their leading receiver returning has like 500 yards.
Mm-hmm.
They need a number one receiver. And you cannot throw Kyler Murray. Say what you want about Kyler Murray. I feel bad for any quarterback who just is thrown to the wolves without any receivers.
No weapons.
To throw to. And they are weaponless in Minnesota or Arizona right now. So Minnesota is weapon full. And that would just be criminal not to give him a quality wide receiver. But trading out of that 4 spot in a deep receiver class, if somebody wants to go up and get a quarterback,
you can find a Brian Thomas at 23, probably.
That's right. Or you can go and find a great wide receiver at 11, where you'd have to give up 11 and 23 mm-hmm. if you're Minnesota to get up into 4. Get a receiver at 11 if you want to, or at 23 you're going to have one, and get offensive line help at either one of those positions, because it does appear that a good tackle will be available at either one, 11 or 23, and a really good wide receiver. So I wouldn't be shocked one bit if you see Arizona move out. But J.J. McCarthy at 4 is a bit of a surprise.
That's a stunner. At top 4 going quarterback?
Where both of Kuiper and Daniel Jeremiah really split, though, is the next quarterback taken in this first round. Because Kuiper has 5 quarterbacks coming off the board in the first round. One of them being Bo Nix coming off the board at number 12 overall to the Denver Broncos. And it should be noted, Kuiper does have Minnesota drafting J.J. McCarthy at 11, which he will be there for you. But Bo Nix, number 12 to the Denver Broncos, is where Mel Kuiper Jr. has Nix coming off the board. He does not have Michael Penix Jr. in the first round.
No.
Daniel Jeremiah has Michael Penix Jr. going 13th overall
to the Raiders.
To the Las Vegas Raiders, which, and no Bo Nix in his first round.
I like Penix. He does fit stylistically what the Raiders have wanted to be always. What's the thing that Al Davis always prioritized in his quarterback? Big arm.
Big old arm.
That big arm, deep plays, speed on the outside, which is how Odunze played at Washington. Big plays, speed on the outside. It's those opportunities that are there. I just feel like the Raiders have so many other things, and making that move there, I feel like he's a second-round guy. I don't think you can with his medicals.
Yeah, the medicals are a big one, but that's never stopped the Raiders before.
Nope, definitely not.
And you need a quarterback. You have Gardner Minshew. You have Aiden O'Connell on your roster. Those two guys are stopgaps. You draft Michael Penix if he's at 13. Like, and here's the thing with both of these picks. If it is Penix at 13 or Nix at 12, either one of those, you can trade down, and those guys are still going to be available.
Yep. Honestly, right? if the Raiders did trade down here, I'd probably be thrilled, unless there's somebody there that you're just like, Brock Bowers. If Bowers is there, you're like, even if you're already having a tight end, still kind of go, yeah, he shouldn't be here. Take him. Get the assets.
Acquire more assets. Because you are in a hole. Both of these teams are, where talent is going to be an issue. But it kind of furthers, though, what both of Kuiper and Jeremiah are going down, mm-hmm. is they're not just trying to find, you know, the best player, but what these teams need and the fit for these players in a specific system. And I think that's an interesting one when you talk about these quarterbacks, because think of them. You got Caleb Williams, Jaden Daniels, Drake May, Bo Nix, Michael Penix, and J.J. McCarthy. Those six quarterbacks right there, outside of Caleb Williams, who can kind of fit anywhere, the fit has got to be right for these guys to be successful. And here is where most teams stretch and reach and they fail, is when you say, well, he's the best, he's the best quarterback that's on the board. We need a quarterback right now. Not diving into, all right, what is going to make this guy successful? And do we have the talent? And it's crazy to think about how many times we see this happen, right? Where you have a team draft a quarterback and it's like, this guy doesn't fit what you do.
Yeah.
What you want to do offensively and stylistically and who you are and the weapons that you already have, this guy doesn't fit.
No, not at all. It's very much the, there's this diversification of thought versus production in college versus fit in the NFL. And I can't remember who it was. I wish I could credit him. There was discussion over the last couple of days that I saw across social media about the difference in how scouts at the collegiate level and scouts at the NFL level, how they go about grading players. As good as Bo Nix was in college, what are his tools and how do they translate and how much more can they develop in the NFL? And there's this discussion about how prolific a guy is or isn't. Because for every, well, there's plenty of guys that weren't prolific in college, Tom Brady, who ended up being the GOAT, but there's also guys who were prolific in college, Patrick Mahomes, who ended up being very good in the NFL as well. So there's like, there's, what I'm getting to is the NFL draft is, it's a crapshoot.
Well, teams make it far harder on themselves than they need to.
Certainly.
Because you have to have a quarterback.
So, and stylistically, it has to match what you're trying to do. Otherwise, you're doing square peg, round hole.
And this is why I just, the Patriots sitting at three, I'm looking at either Drake May or Jaden Daniels.
Does either of those guys make sense?
No. They don't.
No.
Because of the fact that you don't have the resources around them to make them successful right now. And there is so much further that I think the Commanders do. And you're taking the third best prospect at quarterback. See, that is where fit matters. Mm-hmm. And I went through, I want to bounce these off of you because I came up with a, before I saw either one of these guys mock drafts, I put down fit for these quarterbacks. I want to bounce them off you when we come back, because that fit is going to matter tremendously for the success long term for these guys. Danny Dusty on the Fan.
This is Danny and Dusty on the Odyssey app and Portland's sports leader, 1080, The Fan.
All right, we are going over Mel Kiper Jr., who has Bo Nix going 12th overall to the Denver Broncos. Daniel Jeremiah has Michael Penix Jr. going 13th overall to the Las Vegas Raiders.
Can I say that I don't like either one of these guys' mocks for the Raiders?
Yeah.
J.C. Latham or Michael Penix Jr., either one of those guys being taken at 13 feels like an overdraft, which that'd be very Raiders.
I mean, taking a tackle would be okay there.
Sure.
I bet you can upgrade a little bit more than Latham.
Yeah.
If Fuaga, Fontenelle, Joelt's going way before that.
If Alt, Bowers, one of those guys ends up falling here because there's a run on wide receivers or something like that.
Yeah.
Then go ahead and go get that guy.
Pull that ripcord, bail.
But otherwise, bail out of the spot and
trade down
because you can get Latham and Penix later.
So we were talking about quarterbacks and that fit of where they go being so important. Mm-hmm. And so I went through with like, what teams have a reasonable opportunity to draft any of these guys and that fit makes sense to them. And I went through this and Caleb Williams, Chicago, that's like the no-brainer because he's going number one overall. And what they've done to their roster
is to prepare it.
Makes so much more sense with having Caleb Williams there.
Do you think that happens if Caleb Williams and his camp don't put that pressure out there?
Yes.
You think so?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Absolutely.
I've been wondering about that for the last week or so of like, I wonder if Caleb Williams kind of floating the I don't want to go to Chicago thing because they were so bereft of anything.
Yeah.
May have pushed Chicago to be like, hey, if we're going to take this guy and we want to make sure we aren't walking any boats, we want to have things be a good landing spot, let's make sure we do more here than we did for Fields.
Well, that Ryan Poles like actually said that about we haven't done right by Justin Fields when they traded for DJ Moore last year and they gave up the number one overall pick and they said we need to acquire talent. And that's why they got their books right, is so they could spend in free agency this year to have a roster that makes sense around them and not have to develop offensive line and just kind of have some guys you can plug and play. And they've done a really good job of getting more than just enough for Caleb Williams.
When
Ryan Poles had signaled that's what they were trying to do for Justin Fields, and then all of a sudden they get the number one overall pick and they're like, all right, well, now we can move on.
They watched the Panthers play week one and went, yes.
No doubt about it. You kidding me?
You just look at that game and you went, oh, this team sucks.
Yeah. So Williams, number one in Chicago. Yep. That one is just like, that fit, it all makes sense. And then you look down at like, all right, the number two and three, everybody's flipping back and forth between Drake May and Jane Daniels, and their skill sets are wildly different.
Yep.
And for me, if I look at Jane Daniels, reigning Heisman Trophy winner, had Thomas and Malik Nabers as his wide receivers, two guys that can take a top off of defense that were really good. You're having to play a lot of two high. He needs receivers around him that are he's speedy receivers, right? And that's why I go, I don't think like the Commanders or the Patriots for Drake May or Jaden Daniels, they're not good fits for either one of them. And I look at the New York Giants or the Minnesota Vikings as if they were teams that, and we're talking reasonable chance of drafting these guys, right? If New York could move up or Minnesota could move up, or in a perfect world, and these teams don't reach for quarterbacks at 2 and 3, if you have Jaden Daniels go to New York where you have two burners on the outside, with Slayton and Jalen Hyatt, that makes more sense. Obviously, Minnesota, stylistically with Kevin O'Connell, that makes sense for Jaden Daniels, too.
For sure.
Either one of those ones.
And you have wide receivers.
Yeah. All of the wide receivers. And good running back now, too, as well. But you go Drake May, I think Tennessee at 6, that would make, like, if Drake May were drafted there, nobody would bat an eye at it.
Yeah.
It would be like, okay, that makes sense. The way he plays, the fact that now they have Calvin Ridley and DeAndre Hopkins, they went and they have Tony Pollard as their running back. What they want to do with Callahan, their new head coach, coming down from Cincinnati. Stylistically, that would make sense for a guy like Drake May. Better fit than Washington or New England, which both of those teams are void of talent.
And if you went further down the list, Jaden Daniels,
Terry McLaurin, is good.
Notwithstanding, yes. Yeah. As much as I wouldn't necessarily like it, Jaden Daniels would make sense for a team like the Raiders. Again, big arm, big play, over the top. That's always been Raiders football. And Antonio Pierce seems to be dead set on that being how they go about things again, is reviving that again. So
watching the Bears offense last year, you need to reframe that, buddy.
Yeah, I know, with Getsy. I know.
Luke Getsy, the offensive coordinator for Chicago and Vegas now. When you go down the list, I think that with J.J. McCarthy, who we have Daniel Jeremiah having the Vikings trade up to 4 to get J.J. McCarthy, I think the Commanders, if they go and they get, say, Marvin Harrison Jr. at number 2, then all of a sudden, a guy like J.J. McCarthy makes a ton of sense more in Washington with the Commanders. You're going to be playing outdoors. You're going to need to have a run-first offense, but with Terry McLaurin and Marvin Harrison Jr., you would have receivers that are more reliable. But that's the big thing, is that outside of McLaurin, they don't really have anything to put around him.
If you're one of those teams, or the Commanders or the Patriots,
you have a good running game. You have a good running game that you can lean on there, too.
The smarter things to me seems to be take the best player
yes
available there, and then round 2 comes around, If your quarterback is there, take it.
Everybody
if not,
needs a quarterback. But we all know Washington's going quarterback because they signed Marcus Mariota. They're not going to roll Mariota out there. They need a quarterback in the first or second round. But I'm sitting there and I'm looking at it going, dude, if you can trade back up into the first round and get late first round and you can pull a J.J. McCarthy, yeah, go and do that. Denver going with Bo Nix in the Mel Kiper mock, I love that.
It fits. I just wouldn't do it at 12.
I trade back. And Bo will still be there. If you can trade back, and that's that, like, three picks at a time. We see those teams like kind of three picks at a time where you kind of eye who needs a quarterback, who needs a quarterback. Are they going to take Bo? No, okay. We can keep moving back. Sean Payton and Bo Nix.
Makes sense.
It makes so much sense. A accurate, cerebral quarterback who doesn't need to push the ball down the field, who you need to manage the 10 other guys on the field first and foremost, but then distribute the ball accurately and quickly.
And on time.
That can be Bo Nix.
Yeah.
And everybody that wants to criticize Bo Nix for being a check down quarterback, remember what the argument with Michael Thomas in New Orleans was? Mm-hmm. Well, he only catches the ball 2 yards past the line of scrimmage and everything else is a run after catch. Yeah.
Yeah, that's the point.
And Drew Brees was really damn good at doing that and being very quick at it.
Remind me real quick again. How many yards did Bo Nix throw for against USC this year?
A bajillion?
Yeah. And how many of those yards were downfield?
Not a lot.
Almost none of them. Everything was in under 8 yards. I know. I watched it 10 feet in front of my face.
Not a lot.
As 5-yard routes were taken for 80 over and over and over again.
And then Michael Penix Jr., I think Vegas is a perfect place for him, too.
I
think that would
just
be...
Just not at 13.
He is accurate. He is... You need to be able to protect him. Mm-hmm. That would be a big question, but you have a receiver in Davante Adams that we know and the thing that I was most in awe of with Michael Penix Jr., and he had a great receiving core top to bottom with Polk, McMillan, and Adunze.
But his relationship two tight ends. With Adunze was special.
But Adunze was his go-to guy, but he never abused it until he had to. And that is very reminiscent of the way Aaron Rodgers used Davante Adams in Green Bay. Is
winning time, guess where this ball's going.
I'm not going to force the ball to you early in the game. Mm-hmm. I'll let you do your damn thing. You're going to get open a lot.
Yep.
But when it comes time, I know exactly where I need to go. Mm-hmm. That's one thing that we saw last year, whether it was Jimmy Garoppolo, AOC, whoever it was that was out there. They did not handle Davante Adams' ball distribution very well. No. Penix will do that.
Yeah. No, I 100% agree. And I think if you're Denver and the Raiders, you both trade back. You both trade back.
Yep.
Get additional asset there. Because I think you're going to find teams that are going to go, ooh, shiny. And somebody's going to be there because teams are going to reach for quarterbacks as they push guys down.
Your feedback, 503-864-6326. We get a lot of, we're getting a lot of draft talk here. Danny and Dusty on the Fan.
Danny and Dusty on the Odyssey app and 1080 The Fan.
Gotta hit a hippopotamus. All right, your feedback. We're talking NFL draft quarterbacks in the systems, right? This text on the Vancouver Ford text line. Washington might be a sneaky good landing spot. They have a new committed owner, 6 draft picks in the top 3 rounds. I agree. I also think that if they trade back and get a 7th pick in those first 3 rounds, perfect. Or if you go wide receiver in that first round at number 2, you get the best wide receiver you can possibly have. Yeah. Watch out.
And then you've got all those picks. Maybe if you want to move back into the first, you move up then.
Yeah, let me see here. And in the second round, they pick 4th in the second round, so 36th overall. And they also have the 40th pick.
You put those two together, you can get back in the mid.
You can get mid-first.
Yeah, so mid-first.
Or late.
18th.
Late, 18 to 20-some range, right? You can get in there. But with all the picks that they do have, you give up, 36th overall. And then you package it with the 4th rounder, and maybe, you get a
back
team like San Francisco who needs cheap young talent.
Kansas City.
Kansas City, they're not going to trade out because they're going to get a really damn good receiver in the first round and have a cheap fifth-year option on him. They're going to get better.
Or they could get 2.
They are going to get better.
Yeah.
They are, like, the Kansas City Chiefs, It's freaky. And well, Marquise Brown, they don't even have to go wide receiver. They're probably going to go with one of the best edge rushers in the class because all those guys are plummeting down the first round too.
Yeah, some freak like Chop Robinson ends up there.
Dems the breaks. Dems the breaks. God. Really damn good team. But Washington, they are sneaky. They are sneaky, mm-hmm. but I don't think that you get over the hump or close to it with the second or third best quarterback in this draft class.
But the thing we always have to keep in mind here is new ownership.
That's right. They want their guy.
And they want their guy. They want to be splashy. They want a quarterback. Now, my, why can't I have this?
Here's text. As a Broncos fan, I hate the idea of Nix. Sure, he could have worked well with Peyton maybe 10 years ago. Peyton seems to be checked out or lost a step, and gambling on a system quarterback with a low ceiling is too risky when the roster needs talent ASAP. I think Sean Payton, in what we saw this past year, is more of a product of Russell Wilson in his relationship with Russ mm-hmm. than it was Sean Payton mailing it in. I do believe
I'd mail it in if Russell Wilson was my quarterback too.
Yeah, and it was a square peg with the round hole, and I still think Russell Wilson can be good.
I don't, but
I think that he needed a lot of humbling, and he still didn't get it even after he got his office taken away after the Nathaniel Hackett thing. And when you have a quarterback that the locker room doesn't respect and trust, you can't win.
No, not at all.
You can't win. And that the was the big one.
Look, do I think Peyton maybe crossed some lines when he threw Hackett under the bus? Maybe a little bit. You don't say stuff publicly. But also, he wasn't wrong. Hackett was terrible.
Yeah.
He was absolutely terrible. As much as the Broncos weren't good this last year, how much of it were you like, it's Sean Payton? You know what I mean? How much of it was coaching stuff where you were like...
A lot of, to that texture's point, a lot of Broncos fans did think Payton played a large hand in it.
Okay.
But at the same token,
there was
far more underlying issues going on.
There's thinking the coaching is being the problem and knowing the coaching is the problem. Yeah. Because with Nathaniel Hackett,
bingo.
You knew coaching was the problem because it was on display every bleeping week.
PON Orange Guy, he went to the text line, not to the YouTube chat, youtube.com/1080am, the fan. This is quite opposite of what that Broncos fan said. With what the Vikings have, I'd rather have Nix, especially with his passing ability. I know J-Jet wouldn't leave the Vikings. Justin Jefferson, that's terrifying proposition number one for Minnesota Viking fans, is Justin Jefferson's uneasiness and willingness to leave the team. And look, if you go and the Vikings get a quarterback there, distribute the ball, get the ball out quick, Nix would be good at that. The J.J. McCarthy love, I understand he's a winner. And I think of this, too, with Bo Nix. If you're drafting Bo Nix at 11, 12, or 13, you might be reaching too far for your quarterback. He's a great quarterback. But he, again, with Bo Nix, Michael Penix, J.J. McCarthy, and I will throw to a lesser extent Drake May and Jaden Daniels in this, you need the right fit. And it's got to be a really damn good fit from your play caller to the skill guys around you. And it sounds like duh, but how often do we see that not be the case in the NFL in their drafting, in the way that they draft their quarterbacks?
And a lot of times it's because you've got ownership saying, go get me the thing that I can put on season tickets.
Bingo. And it's a quarterback who's young. All right.
Sell hope, baby.
All right, your text at 503-864-6326. That's a Vancouver Ford text sign. Always welcome. It's a way you can be a part of the show. All right, we got the NCAA tournament. The first four, they start up tonight on True TV. Get in for those 16 seeds, everyone. But there's far more pressing issues at hand. We've got upsets that everybody likes in their bracket. And I think that there's a way that we can help you make those picks a little bit easier. Next on The Fan.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.